What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, back again as your host for another episode in our football preview series. Today, we have the WKU Hilltoppers. We'll start off with our media interview. We're joined by Jeff Nations, who's a beat writer for the Hilltoppers there, sports editor at the Bowling Green Daily News. Jeff, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Glad to have you back on the show again. Obviously, excitement building as we get another day closer to the kickoff of the 2026 season. I'm sure there's lots of things in store for WKU this year. Obviously, we talk year after year about the consistency under Coach Helton. But I think really one of the biggest storylines as we head into 2026 is Rodney Tisdale Jr., right? Really changed the trajectory of the offense on the back half of the season last year, provided a much needed spark there. What did you see from him towards the end of last year that, obviously Hilltoppers fans should have a lot of confidence in him from what they saw at the end of the year. But, you know, how do you believe he can kind of take another step in 2026?
Well, yeah, as you said, I thought he brought a new element to the offense. I mean, they were fine with Maverick McIver. They were kind of still one of the top passing offenses in the league. But when he went down with the injury, Rodney kind of came in with a little bit of extra mobility, a little bit of a spark. I just think he's more of an athletic quarterback that does add that element to him.
How different do you expect him to kind of go about his approach, you know, with a full off season of knowing, you know, more or less he's the guy? I know they brought in Brock Glenn to kind of, I'm sure, help coach him up a little bit and really light that fire under him. But, you know, rather than having to learn on the fly in the middle of last year as he did, how much more do you expect from him?
Right. I mean, that can only help greatly, right? I mean, yeah, and Brock Glenn is certainly somebody that came in for Florida State that has a lot of experience, certainly could step in there, but you do get the sense that this is Rodney's job to lose right now, which is certainly not where he was last year. He didn't even know maybe how much he'd see the field at all. So, yeah, a full year of preparation, knowing he's the guy, it's going to be leaps and bounds, I really believe.
What do you think is kind of one of the things that he's honed in on the most, right? We know he's obviously a big dual threat guy. Is it the decision-making, you know, turnovers? What area do you expect the most growth out of him?
I think accuracy, yeah, and making that initial decision, making the right decision, but putting the ball on the money too on a consistent basis, I think is something that he's really focused on.
And then as we talk about year after year, another new offensive coordinator, from what you've kind of heard around the program, how do you, what's that relationship like so far between the two of them?
As always, Tyson seems to get the guy that he wants, and certainly he knows firsthand what Bodie Reeder's offense can do, having faced it the last 2 years. And, MTSU let them up pretty good last year at Houch and Smith. So I think Tyson was glad to find a guy like that available. So it seems like it's been a seamless transition there.
Yeah, now it's 7 straight seasons with a new offensive coordinator there at WKU, and obviously the Hilltoppers have an offensive identity year after year, just, you know, from what we've seen with past quarterbacks, past offenses. How much do you think Reeder will kind of provide a new touch, but also still maintain that same identity?
A lot. I think it's, you know, we're just talking tweaks here. This is Tyson Helton's offense. The coordinators that come in, they add to it a little bit, but the basis of what they do doesn't change. So you're just talking tweaks.
Some of the question marks on offense, I think running back and offensive line, probably the two biggest positions that you'll learn a lot more as camp goes on and in the early weeks of the season. But we'll start with running back. Who are some of the names you're watching there to fill some of the big shoes at that position?
Well, yeah, losing Marvis Parrish from last year was a blow. That's a transfer loss there. They kind of went by committee a little bit last year, and I would think that's probably what they're going to do this year. The guy that's sort of standing out right now is AJ Allen, who's a transfer from Tulsa. But there's several guys. I would think they're probably, especially early in the year, they're going to be looking for that one, but I don't know that they found it yet, but he'd be number one on my list.
And then moving to the offensive line, I know Carson Upchurch is really the biggest anchor there coming back this year. We got to see him at Media Day as well. What have you seen from that group? And is there enough experience from some of the newcomers and talent that came in through the portal that you expect that unit to improve this year?
Yeah, I think I don't know if they'll improve, but I think they'll be just as good. They have the potential to be even better. There is experience there. As you said, only one starter back in Carson at right tackle, but they have multiple guys that started other programs. And then you got a guy like Rock Montgomery out of Alabama, who's just the size of a house, really. I'm just an athlete, you know, somebody that they don't normally get, somebody with that physicality. I don't know where he fits in yet, but yeah, I think they're going to be, they should equal what they did last year and hopefully improve.
Obviously, Rodney's success not without the contributions of the wide receiver room and some of his pass catchers. Big name coming back, obviously, Katie Hutchinson and a few other big portal ads. Quavez Humphrey is one that the league is very familiar with from his time at Sam Houston and a couple other names. So what do you expect from that group? Who are some of the biggest names to watch?
Yeah, I think you mentioned a couple of them. Katie obviously is just a workhorse, you know, utility knife kind of guy. They're going to try and get the ball in his hands any and every which way they can. There's a guy from South Carolina State, 6'4", Nigel Johnson, that I think can really open some eyes this year. Another one of those athletes that Western doesn't always get. So, you know, if they can utilize him, he would be another great one for them.
Defensively, WKU, kind of a fascinating team, really the past few years, but especially last year. We know we gave up a lot of yards, but, very bend, don't break. When you look at the red zone defense, the scoring defense, what made that approach kind of successful? And do you expect kind of the same out of that defense, or is there a little bit more playmaking, talents on that side of the ball?
Right. Of course, Davis Merritt is he was co-defensive coordinator last year, but he's the sole guy in charge. We asked him that at the local media day. And, you know, while he's happy that the Western ranked highly in the red zone, I think the ideal is that they don't let teams get into the red zone as often as they did to have to make those stops as consistently. So that goes back to, you know, getting stops on, the third down a little more often earlier in the drive. But yeah, I think that's something they hang their hat on. But yes, they would like to be in the red zone a lot less than they were last year.
And then just going through some of the names on defense, who are some of the key returners that you expect to be contributors again, and then maybe some other new faces that may become household names as the season goes on?
Well, yeah, I think you start with safety Jalen Lewis, who just had a phenomenal year last year as a transfer from Temple. Him and Dave Herrard are a great combo at safety, and Western's always kind of secondary heavy. That seems to be where a lot of their playmakers are. So that's where I would start out. I mean, you've got on the defensive line, you got Benson Snead back, who was very solid as a transfer from Indiana. But, you know, it's a lot of new guys. I mean, there's just tons of new faces out there, and we're still trying to sort them out a little bit in the media.
Yeah, I know. I was asking for some info from the SIDs, and yeah, I saw from Jared there, 64 newcomers, which is certainly not anything new to hear from WKU. We know how active Coach Helton is in the portal and how much he likes to bring guys in, and it obviously works, right? I mean, we ask the same question every year, and then it seems like it's 8-9 wins and back to a bowl game.
Yeah, it's kind of been like clockwork. I mean, you look at the beginning of this year's schedule, though, and coming up with the 8-9 wins this year, that could take some doing. Obviously, you start out 3 on the road against Nevada, then you got to go to Georgia, and you follow that up with Indiana, defending national champion, finally get a home game against Mercyhurst, and then you're right into Conference USA schedule. So it's going to be a tough start.
Yeah, definitely. A perfect segue. Yeah. Perfect segue as we talk about the schedule. I mean, yeah, look at that Nevada game. It feels like that has more pressure than a lot of other games, knowing that, you know, you're almost certainly facing a couple tough outings the next 2 weeks before you get, an FCS team, in the house. But what other games are you looking at that are pivotal to WKU's success, or maybe a stretch of games as you get into conference play that really stick out?
Well, I mean, I think it kind of comes down to two stretches in CUSA. You start out with the midweek games in October, and Western has a chance, just based on where these teams are picked in conference, to really get off to a strong start. I think they have to do that to be in contention for the last three, which are the tough ones. That's, at MTSU, Jack State at home, at Liberty. I mean, that's where it's he wants to be, that's where Coach Helton wants to be, is to be in position to contend for that championship. But to do that, he's got to get through the early part of the schedule pretty much unscathed, I would think.
Oh, yeah. We know how much he likes to preach, what you do in November, they remember. And I know that he's backed that up with a very successful record that month. So we'll see if that continues this year. If you had to identify one position group, I know we talked about a few that may already be question marks, but one position group that, you still have some questions about, and then one that you know will be, a bona fide strength for the Hilltoppers.
Well, I would say if you say position group, strength is safety again. Yeah, they just seem to have, they just run in such quality guys there on that back line that make plays. Never have any worries about that. Secondary, cornerbacks less so. You kind of wonder who's going to be out there on man coverage, but well, Western always fields good safeties. And going back to offensive line, yeah, I mean, as you said, as we've talked about, they do have a lot of guys that have experience, but not at Western, so. You know, seeing how that translates here is the big question.
When we're talking WKU football, obviously what sticks out is the amount of, professional players that have come out, in the last handful of years. Is there I know we're plenty of months away from the NFL draft and still have a whole season to play, but who are some guys that you think are really the most pro ready that are maybe already getting some attention, as scouts are showing up?
I mean, chances are we haven't seen that guy in a Western uniform yet or on the field. But right now, I would say Jalen Lewis would be the guy. I mean, I think The Athletic put him on their freak team just based on some of his physical measurables. Certainly, he ranks right up there with Malachi Corley and Upton Stout and speed and, vertical leap and that sort of thing. And obviously, he's been a playmaker. So, I mean, that'd be the guy I'd put money on right now.
What's one storyline around the program that maybe people aren't talking about right now, but you feel like as the season goes on will kind of rise to the top?
Well, one that probably doesn't get enough attention is what Andy LaRusse has done with the special teams. Just year after year puts out some of the best special teams players in the country, not just COSA. But I mean, they've got some new guys out there this year. So to see if he can continue that and keep that production at the same level that it's been, that would be a real feather in his cap.
Yeah, got to give some love to the special teams guys. And yeah, you look back at Lucas Carnero, who's still, getting plenty of accolades at Ole Miss, and Cole Maynard last year, who's a basically consensus All-American, which was a big deal for our league and for WKU, I'm sure, as well. But as you kind of look at the season as a whole, you kind of fast forward a little bit to November, December. What is I know we mentioned earlier the consistency with the program, getting to that 8-9 wins, getting back to a bowl game. But what do you think is kind of the ceiling and what would be viewed as a successful year this year?
Well, I think the ceiling is winning a championship, is winning Conference USA championship. Successful year is getting there, I think. And certainly at the very least, they always want to be within the conversation. If they're not 1-2, they want to be 3. They still need to finish in the upper half of CUSA. Obviously, they want to get to a bowl. That's something they try for every year. But yeah, the missing piece has been that winning that Conference USA championship. But certainly, you got to get there first.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining CUSA Insider again. This is great just to give us a little, boots on the ground take on the Hilltoppers as we get close to the beginning of the year. Best of luck with everything this season. Who knows? We might be talking again as we get closer to, the heart of conference play and even the conference championship game if that ends up being in the cards.
All right. Yeah. Look forward to that.
Thanks again to Jeff Nations for joining the podcast to help preview the WKU Hilltoppers. Next up on the show, we have Sarah Rudolph's interview with head coach Tyson Helton, offensive lineman Carson Upchurch, and safety Jalen Lewis from the 2026 CUSA football kickoff.
All right, Conference USA fans, welcome back into another special segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We're live here from the 2026 CUSA football kickoff at Texas Live in Arlington, Texas. And joining me now, we have the WKU Hilltoppers, sitting right next to me, we've got head coach Tyson Hilton, Karsten Upchurch, and Jalen Lewis. Guys, thank you so much for being here today and joining us here on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to kick things off with some football questions, follow it up with some fun, more lighthearted questions there at the end. But 9-4 overall last year, capped it off with a bowl win in the New Orleans Bowl. If you guys want to show those off really quick, got the rings on today. It's the zombie. We're making it happen over here. A great season for WKU, but obviously not quite where you wanted to be in that Conference USA Championship at the end of the year. So tell me a little bit about what you guys are talking about in the offseason going into fall camp to make sure you guys get back there again.
Yeah, you know, the goal every year is to make it to the championship and have a shot at winning that. And, you know, we came up, we got close, but not close enough. And that's the first goal we have. But, you know, it's about your full body of work during the season. I felt like we had a really good body of work, had a big bowl win against Southern Miss down in New Orleans Bowl. Obviously, you see those beautiful rings right there. So, you know, we have great culture, great history of winning. But every year's a new year, right? So the goal, again, is to try to make it back to the championship and win it.
Karsten and Jalen, tell me a little bit about, for you guys, what it means for y'all as players to have come so close last year to making it in the Conference USA Championship. Does that put a fire under you guys this year to go and win it all?
Yeah, it hurts. I tell you what, it hurts for sure. And, you know, and coming from a school before that, you know, never got the opportunity to have a big winning season like that and get an opportunity in such a big game that, you know, losing that game right there at the end, you know, by such little, you know, points is just it hurts bad and it lights fire that's going to keep us going this year.
What about you, Jalen?
To piggyback on what Karsten said, the same thing. It kind of hurts falling them 3 points short, knowing we could have beat them, knowing we could have, you know, did we had to do to get to play our championship back at home. But, you know, since we know what it takes to get there, because we know we didn't, like you said, we were close and weren't close enough, so we know what it takes to get there and we know what it takes to win it, we're going to do it.
All right. Maybe Bowling Green to the a location for the Conference USA Championship this year. Like we said, been close a lot of times in the past couple of years. You're going into your eighth season here as head coach there at WKU. Having seen a lot of players come through the NIL era, the transfer portal era, so much has changed since you took that job. What are you looking forward to going into this year with the staff and the players that you have right now?
Well, I tell you, we got a great group of guys. And you know, for us every year, like anything in the era we live in, there's a good amount of turnover. And I think it's a compliment to the success that we have. People have opportunities to maybe go to other places and do other things. So we've been a great platform for that, but we also have great people. We have great coaches. We know what the standard is, you know, and that's to get to the championship and win it. And so, you know, we're looking forward to competing again. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of new every single year. There's whether it's the portal changing, NIL, all those kind of things. But again, like I say, we got great people. We always adjust. We always adapt. We always come out on top of it. And so, you know, as long as we keep pulling in the same direction, I think we'll be where we need to be again this year.
When you think WKU football, I think a lot of times people have a certain brand in their head. You got high flying offense. I mean, but, you know, no slouch on defense either. Y'all are going to go up and get the ball on the defensive side, too. Do you feel like you're sticking to that brand this year, or are we going to see some change there?
No, I think, you know, we have a good blueprint. I like what we do. We're a fun offense. We're high powered offense to watch. We're quarterback driven. We're skilled player driven. So that's fun for the fans. But like you said, we got a really good defense, and I love our defense style of play, and defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. You know, the offense, yeah, you can score all those points, and it's fun and all that, but the defense is what gets you there. And I felt like our defense really kept us going last year. They gave us an opportunity to try to go make that championship run. I think it'll be that way again this year. I like being a defensive-led football team. I really do. I talk to the guys about it all the time when we have team meetings and all those things, and I also tell them big men lead the way. Our O-line and D-line, they lead the way. So long as those two units are really, really good, you always have a chance.
Yeah, it's always fun to see the, you know, the interceptions, the 60-yard touchdown passes, all that good stuff. But you talk about the fundamentals that you have to keep true to yourselves. Tell me a little bit about the offensive line room and what you guys have going on right now. Obviously, that's got to be a tight-knit group in order to make those big plays happen. So tell me a little bit about you guys and that unit this year.
No doubt. It's very tight. And you know, our line coach, Joe Bernardi, man, he's, since I've been here, it's been nothing but just great having him in the room. And he's built a room this year that it's bigger, it's faster, stronger. And you know, I'm hoping we're going to be able to run the ball a lot more this year and just and put that on our backs and be able to take games to the next level and just beat people on the ground.
And Jalen, coach said it, defense wins championships. I know that, you know, some people may be tired of hearing that, but what does that mean to you and how are you going to make that product on the field happen so that you can go out and win a championship this year?
Well, we ain't some of the people because we love hearing it. Like you said, like defense wins championships. And I've been hearing that all my life. It doesn't matter what sport it is, basketball or football. They always say defense wins championships. And that's the cause. Like we got them guys right there to lead us to the way. But it's up to us to make that way easier, you know. But I feel like defense this year going – I don't do too much talking, so I just feel like defense this year going to be –
You're leaving it at that. I hear you. I hear you. Well, you take a look at your schedule this year, and I know we're always looking at the next game. So you guys are looking at your first game of the season. But I was taking a look at it as I was making preparations for this interview, and you take a look at the back half of your season. You guys have a gnarly stretch to end the year. I'm going to run it down for everybody for a second. So – the last weekday game of the season, y'all got Delaware at home, who looks to be a great football program this year. Then you've got 100 miles of hate against Middle Tennessee, which you never know what's going to happen in a rivalry game. And then you come back home, Jack State, been in the championship the last 2 years. Then you've got Liberty away, Lynchburg, tough place to play. And then at home, you ended out with Kennesaw State, who's the reigning Conference USA champions. That is a gnarly stretch to end the season.
Yeah, but what a great opportunity, right?
There we go.
I mean, that's what we want. We want great opportunity to have a great season against great opponents. And as you know, there's a lot of parity in this conference. If you look at last season, a lot of games came down to the last drive, who had the ball last. And we understand that. We know it's going to be a four-quarter game wherever we go. I think that's why we have such a competitive conference. I think that's why our conference is so exciting to watch. So we invite that. We want that challenge. We want those tough schedules because, you know, we want to showcase how good we are. And, you know, at the, I tell everybody all the time, it's your full body of work. You know, you're going to have ups and downs through the season, but what does your full body of work look like? And so what a great opportunity to win some big games and hopefully get back to that championship game.
Yeah, absolutely. I've asked several people who've come sit over here, what it's like to have these weekday CUSA games give you such great national exposure, but you guys have something else that's really special at WKU that gives you a lot of national exposure, and that is your beloved mascot, Big Red. Tell me a little bit about the fact, like what y'all thought about his new deal with the video game and all that stuff. Do you guys buy into him as much as everyone else around the country does?
It's really cool to see that, you know, our mascot is such a special thing in the nation. It's really cool to have that exposure, and you know, it's fun seeing him on game day jump around for sure.
And I feel like by him doing that really give us more, you know, like you say, opportunities, more exposure. And by us playing during the week and stuff like that is already building on top of what the WKU, and not just WKU, but the CUSA have going on. So I feel like by him doing that and having that deal bring more exposure for us to showcase our talent and showcase the what we going to do this year.
Tell me a little bit about Bowling Green. Why do people need a visit? Why is it such a great place to come and watch a football game?
I think it's a perfect balance of place. You know, it's a very growing city. It's all on the uprise. I mean, there's stuff being built everywhere. You know, there's a Publix being built by my house now, and it's the perfect balance of like you have enough to do, but there's not enough to where it's too many people around where you know you get kind of claustrophobic. So I really do enjoy it. That's a nice town.
I'd say too, you know, like Carson said, there's a good balance between it's a college town too, though, and everybody's still Topper fans. So you're not in an urban environment. You're in a true college environment. It's a great college experience. There's things to do in that town. There's a lot of great restaurants there. Everybody's still Topper fans. You talk about Big Red. Everywhere you go in town, there's Big Red signs and all those kind of things. So when we recruit and people come to see Bowling Green, we're a hidden gem. I mean, they love it. Nashville's right down the road. Easy ride. You fly in straight into Nashville. Beautiful drive up to Bowling Green. You know, beautiful horse country. And then you see our beautiful campus.
And our stadium's right on campus there, and it's a great place for college football games. So we have a lot of advantages for a true college atmosphere.
I worked here at Conference USA for 8 years since 2018. I have never been to Bowling Green. Well, I need to get there. I've never been there, but you mentioned the great restaurants, and I got to ask, what's your favorite?
Wing Station.
That's a tough one. I've been to a lot of others. That's tough for sure. I have to say there's a few little small Mexican joints there. And Taqueria Wiberia. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but
Taqueria Wiberia.
Yes, it is.
Love it.
Very good.
You know, I love a good steak. Tony's is a great, great place. Actually, there's a great embassy suite there that we built. That's where our team stays the night before the game, and there's a great steak place there. Right? Tony's. It's awesome. And there's a good sports bar there called Pub Nova that I like to go to. As a, you know, a little fact, I don't know if it's changed, but at one point in time, like for the size, I think Bowling Green had the second most restaurants country per capita. I think it was like Las Vegas and us. Now, don't hold me to that. As far as options.
I don't know if it still holds, but I have heard that.
Yeah. So it's you definitely got a lot of good options here.
I hear that you're a foodie.
I like to cook.
Okay, tell me about what are you cooking these days? You're a grill guy. You're at the oven. What are you doing?
It's mostly the grill and the smoker. We love me and my roommate Alex Lopez. Man, we've been really good friends for a while now, and we love to go out there on the weekends and smoke some meat, some ribs, some brisket, all that kind of stuff. We love doing that.
Where are you from?
I'm from Stauffville, Mississippi.
Okay, you got that accent. I can hear it for sure. Jalen, what about you? You a foodie?
A little bit, but I don't get down like that though.
That's what
when you come, better go there.
Okay, all right. What sauce do I need to get on my wings?
I like lemon pepper.
Okay,
but they got different ones. But if you do, make sure you get the banana pudding after you get your wings.
I do love some banana pudding. I love it. Well, staying on the track with these fun questions, tell me a little bit about your locker room makeup right now. Maybe who's the funniest guy in the locker room? Who's always making somebody laugh?
I mean, J-Lo, he's always making some laugh.
Really? He seems a little quiet.
You gotta see him in his element. That is okay. So around the locker room, it's a funny thing to see. I definitely have to say Jalen.
Okay. All right. What about you, Jalen? Who's the funniest besides yourself?
If I had to pick Dave Harrod.
He's my other safety.
Okay.
He's my other safety. Number 17. With Jalen, they're side by side. So they get to talk to you, sir. They kind of feed off each other a little bit.
I love it. Is there somebody on the coaching staff who's a little funny?
Coach Bernardi is a great coach, as a character. He's fun to be around, and the guys love him. And I think that's why our offensive line group is so close. And it really starts with Coach Bernardi. He does a great job. I joke all the time about him. We're at practice and Joe's nonstop. He's talking and I'm like, Joe, I just need you to take like a water break for about 30
just
seconds.
A second. Yeah.
Just give me 30 seconds, you know, but I love him to death. Great guy. The players love him as well.
I love it.
Awesome. Well, I've got you guys for just a minute longer here. So I'm going to go down the line. Tell me one goal maybe that you have for the upcoming season, or even maybe one mantra that stuck with you, either one of those things.
Well, you know, we talked about the goals originally. Obviously, it's compete for championships, you know. But for me, it's to be the best we can be, you know. And you work as hard as you can work. There's a bunch of good men in that locker room. We're all pulling in the same direction. We're very blessed to play a great game. And you let your body work speak for itself. And so – you know, no one knows what the season is going to be, you know, we'll find out, but I'm looking forward to going to battle with the group we got. Hey, we got a bunch of good men. Like I said, there's a lot of new guys, but that group's bonded really quickly. So it should be a fun season for us.
What about you guys?
He's a little bit more modest than me. I want the confidence. It's been eating at me ever since we lost that game in Jacksonville State. That's all I want is to win that conference for sure.
Awesome.
Same as Carson, like coming from high school, being at either semi or the state, but just coming to college always, just winning bowl games or just being to the bowl games or just being that little 1% short of just being at the conference. So I'm always been the winner. So conferences.
I think the biggest thing is rings, right? Go get another ring.
Yeah.
You know, because those are great conversational pieces.
They are.
See them. So the goal is let's go get another ring.
Winners get rings. Y'all are chomping at the bit over here. I love to see it. Well, as we mentioned before, there's no doubt that you guys are going to be playing some meaningful football one way or the other in the month of November. We're really looking forward to seeing it. So, Coach Helton, Carson, Jalen, guys, thank you so much for joining us here. Good luck to the Hilltoppers this season. Maybe we'll see you in December.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to come to a game.
I know. I got to come to a game. All right. See you guys at Bowling Green. Thanks,
go
guys.
Tops.
Thank you to everyone from WKU for joining the podcast to help preview the season. Super excited as we get another day closer to the kickoff of the 2026 football season. Next up on our football preview series, we have the Liberty Flames on Thursday, August 20th. You can look on the screen here for our full remaining schedule. We're getting to the back half of the schedule now. Really excited as we get to some of these teams really starting with Liberty. Kind of the first one where we're going to start talking about some quarterback battles, some other big position battles, and teams that are getting started earlier on in the year. Very excited for the remainder of this series, so stay tuned. You can follow us on social media to stay up to date on all the latest episodes at CUSA Insider Pod on Instagram and X. And then you can watch our video versions on YouTube at Conference USA. There's a playlist for the CUSA Insider Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for joining another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, signing off.